You are listening to the Charisma News Podcast on the Charisma Podcast Network. One daily news story well told. I'm your host, Jeff Struss. Well, with so much going on in the world, there are troubles and tribulations both locally and abroad. And right now, the eyes of the world are looking to Israel, coming through a hostile conflict with Hamas. And now, in the middle of political upheaval and a change of guard. Our next guest is uniquely positioned to speak into this subject and to help us as believers think through how to pray and how to respond to the changes in the world around us. You won't want to miss it right after this.
Are you in the midst of your college search? We invite you to explore Liberty University this spring at one of our on-campus events. Spend a few hours exploring campus at Tour LU, dig deeper, and learn more about life at Liberty during Experience LU. Or you can take your next steps towards training for your dream career on a world-class campus by meeting with faculty and department heads and getting your questions answered at Decide LU. Learn more about these visiting opportunities and register today by texting VISIT to the number 49596. Again, that's VISIT to the number 49596.
Well, Jason Yates is CEO of My Faith Votes, a nonpartisan movement that motivates, equips, and activates Christians in America to vote in every election, transforming our communities and influencing our nation with biblical truth. By partnering with national faith leaders, My Faith Votes provides resources to help Christians pray, think, and act to create an America where God is honored in the public square. Jason is with us today. And we're so thankful to have him with us. Welcome to the podcast.
Jeff, it's great to be with you. I'm just thrilled with all that you're doing and how you've established this podcast. It's just an honor to be with you and be a part of it.
Well, we're so glad to have you on. And it's something that when we saw the opportunity to, we knew we wanted to take advantage of it. Of course, here at Charisma, we're celebrating the work that you're doing with My Faith Votes. And of course, Jesus Christ told us that we were the salt and the light of the world. And it gets really dark when Christians aren't shining that light. And so we thank God that you are mobilizing Christians to be engaged with the world around us. In fact, we're going to get into Israel here in just a minute. But what are some things that you're working on right now with My Faith Votes locally?
I think one of the things that we're really focused on is a program we're calling Action Partners. There's so many Christians that are looking around and they're seeing some things taking place in the nation or in their communities, whether it's decisions, policies that are being either forced upon them or things that they're just feeling aren't right. And they're saying, what can I do, right? And so we saw a huge need to help people give guidance to them, to be able to know, here's something you can do to impact your community, your state, and your nation. And so we developed an Action Partner program. And we're just asking Christians to sign up with us. They can do that at myfaithvotes.org. And we are going to give them guidance, give them tools, give them resources to influence the sphere that they're in and help them bring the influence of Christ into that area and make a difference wherever they are. And so one of the areas in particular that we're focusing is school boards. How can we help people really understand what's happening with kids in their community and schools, what's being taught, how they can make a difference in that arena? And so that's one focus area. We've got several others, but I certainly want to invite all your listeners that if you're asking that question, what can I do? Visit myfaithvotes.org and we'll try and help you with that.
Well, beautiful. And we definitely want to encourage our listeners to check that out at, you said it's myfaithvotes.org. And there's a lot of great information there. So again, want to encourage all of our listening audience to check it out. Moving over to Israel, evangelical support for Israel has historically been strong. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think there's just an alignment with the Israeli people. We read the Bible. We look at what God has said about Israel and his chosen people. And I think there's an alignment is fulfilled in prophecy that God is establishing a place for his people to reside. He's calling them back to this land. And so there's an alignment with most evangelicals in that belief. And so they align in the struggle that you see Israel going through, surrounded by neighbors who historically have not agreed with them, in fact, been adversarial to them. And so I think most Christians are saying, yeah, we need to come along. We need to support Israel in that struggle because we believe God has established that nation. So that's the main reason that most evangelicals, most Christians support Israel. I think there's another reason. And so it's an agreement in the threats and the opportunities for a democracy in that region. You know, Israel is the only democracy in the Middle East. And it's no surprise that we align with them for that reason. But, you know, there are groups like Hamas and Hezbollah, Al-Qaeda, that call Israel the little Satan, but call America the great Satan. And so I think there's also a agreement with Christians in general that we have sort of a common foe. And I say that sensitively, that we don't necessarily want to think about everyone as a foe in that way, but there's definitely a mentality that is in opposition to both countries and in opposition to our values and our faith. And so I think those are the main reasons you see a lot of people, a lot of Christians, in strong support of Israel.
Now, historically, I think it's absolutely correct, and your points about what both God's plan for the people of Israel, as well as politically, being Middle Eastern democracy and pro-democracy nation, lends to the obvious choice that Americans and American Christians would be in support of Israel. And yet, lately in the news, we've seen just a string of anti-Semitic attacks, rhetoric. You know, Jason, even within the church, there seems to be a shifting attitude right now that's moving away from standing with Israel. Have you noticed that as well?
Well, I think we've seen some surveys, too, recently that suggest that younger generations of Christians do not stand in support of Israel in the same way that the older generations do. And I think there's a number of reasons for that. I think there's one reason is biblical literacy. Do uh-huh. they really understand the broad story in the Bible? Do they understand Israel as God's chosen people? And so that's one challenge, I think, and there's other studies that do show a decline in biblical literacy in younger generations as well. So I think that's one reason. I think that media and the story that you hear in media is more sensitive to the Arab nations and Palestinians. And so in this era of social justice, fairness, et cetera, I think younger generations are questioning the fairness, et cetera, without fully understanding the full biblical narrative of the story. And then thirdly, I think, is really just a question of trusting authority. In these days, we see so many where we're questioning authority. People don't trust leaders in our nations, in our countries, even in our churches. We're seeing people fall from grace. And so I think when they hear "you should," without understanding the why of support Israel, they don't trust that. And they probably shouldn't. They should be working to understand the why, but just being told that this is the right thing isn't enough, and they don't trust authority. And therefore, there's less support overall. So I think those are some of the reasons why, at least generationally, we're seeing some decline in support for Israel. But sure, we're seeing it. We're seeing it not just generationally, but we're seeing it across the globe, even in America, with a lot of anti-Semitism happening. Acts of just outrage against the Jewish people. We're seeing that lately in various areas, and it's definitely ticking up.
It's something that I think, as concerned Christians, we do need to pay attention to it. Often rhetoric, when left unchecked, leads to physical acts, which lead to worse and worse things. And so I think as Christians that, we need to have eyes to see what's happening in the world and in the nations, and of course, how we can then respond in a kingdom-minded way that honors God and honors his word. There's a lot of changes happening right now politically. The previous administration in America under President Trump, really in the closing days of his administration, negotiated what's called the Abraham Accords, really just a monumental achievement in normalizing relations between Israel and several Middle Eastern nations. Currently, Israel is on the verge of officially ratifying a new coalition government that would see Netanyahu replaced as prime minister. He's been the longest standing prime minister in Israel's history, 12 years. How do you see all this playing out over the coming days and weeks? What are the things that we should be looking for? Do you think the Biden administration will seek to undermine the Abraham Accords, or do you think this good progress that began under President Trump will continue?
Well, this is an incredibly interesting time for Israel right now, and things are really tense. Israel has a different type of government than the United States, and so not everyone listening to this really probably understands what's happening. But in Israel, in the elections that they have, the party that has the majority needs a full majority. And never in Israeli elections have they established a full majority, which means there's 120 members of the Knesset. They need a majority of 61 to form a valid government. And so what happens, it's a little bit like Survivor. You watch the show Survivor, where you form alliances with others. And so in Israeli government, they do that. They form alliances in order to establish a 61 majority in the Knesset. Now, Netanyahu's party in the last election is not enough to establish a majority, and he's struggling in his legacy as prime minister right now to get support in order to establish that majority. And so there's an incredible coalition being established right now of unlikely bedfellows. There are groups forming that include very conservative, if you will, right-wing Orthodox Jews with very liberal Jews and the way they look at things, as well as, and for the very first time ever, members of an Arab party that are coming together and have come together to establish a majority to oppose Netanyahu. I was reading the New York Times today, and they gave a great analogy. This is as if McConnell, if during Trump's presidency, if McConnell had moved away from Donald Trump and formed an alliance with AOC and Chuck Schumer.
Yeah.
And that those and they in turn agreed to it. That is so unlikely. And you look at their values, policies, et cetera, and they're completely opposed. But that's what's happening in Israel today. And in fact, their approaches and their view to the world are so different that they've had to agree that they won't address any of these touchy subjects, such as, what are we going to do with Palestine? Are we going to pursue a two-state solution or a one-state solution? Because the folks in the majority party or in the coalition that's being organized see the world so differently on that particular topic. So instead, they're going to look at infrastructure. They're going to focus on economy as best they can for the first couple of years. But that's going to be really difficult for them because the Israel is in a place where we just experienced an 11-day war where emotions drove to violence and drove to war, and that can happen anytime. There are tinders, burning tinders in Israel all the time, and so it's going to be interesting to see if this coalition can truly hold it together.
Now, tying this into the Abraham Accords, the Biden administration, the progress that was being made, historic progress in the final, really the final days of the Trump administration. How do you see this playing in to where we go in our relationship with Israel in the days and years to come?
I think some of those further attempts to establish additional peace accords with other nations are stalled at the moment. I'll be honest with you, I'm not sure what having Arabs part of the majority coalition will do to that, if that will help it or hurt it in terms of just Israel's approach. But what I will say to you is that Israel is in an interesting place right now, because I think the one thing that most all Israelis, regardless of what political party you're in, agree on is that trying to establish peace with a country like Iran is not a wise move. And they're very against the Iran nuclear accord. And this is something, of course, that President Biden is now pursuing to reestablish that nuclear accord.
Wow.
And so it's going to be really interesting to see what this new majority government is able to do and the relationship that they're able to establish with the Biden administration, because I think they're opposed on this. And so it is going to be very interesting to see what happens. The one thing about Netanyahu is, while he and President Biden did not agree on some various issues, the two of them had a good relationship, at least amicable, that they could have conversation. And what that then is going to look like for Biden to be able to build relationship with Israel and get support for what he's trying to do in the nuclear accord with Iran.
Well, it's so true what you're saying. And there was a political cartoon that I'm remembering. There was a, it's satire, but there was an Iranian representative and Israeli representative and the mediator. And the Iranian representative said, we call for the complete and utter destruction of Israel. And the mediator says to the Israeli, can you meet him halfway? And it's like, how do you actually have relationships with people who are calling for your complete and utter destruction and removal? I mean, we need the gift of common sense, or as my kids are calling it now, uncommon sense, for people to navigate these moments, that there is evil in the world and there are genuinely hostile actors that seek to steal, kill, and destroy, and just see things go from bad to worse. You know, we're about at the end of our podcast, but go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, Jeff, why we need to be praying for Israel in particular.
Well, that was my next question, is how do we pray? Jason, what's the takeaway for our audience? What would you be encouraging our listening audience to be keeping in prayer?
You know, there's probably three things that I would call people to be thinking about as they're praying for Israel. Number one is for the protection of the country and the cessation of violence in the region. You know, they are constantly challenged in this, living under a tenseness, and so we need to be praying for the protection of Israel. Secondly, pray for the new leaders. If indeed they do take office, that there's still a chance that doesn't happen, but it's going in that direction. But pray that this new government would build a better future for Israel and the Palestinians. You know, as it says in Galatians 3:28, with God, there's neither Jew nor Greek. And we need to remember that. We need to be praying for all people in Israel and in the region. And third, I would say, pray for ways to build relationships with the Jewish people. You know, we know that our perceptions, our approaches to the world, and even our view of Israel is based on our own relationships. And if we can establish relationships to understand the Jewish people better, and intentionally seek that, pray for opportunity that we can do that in our own realms of influence.
Well, to that, we amen and amen. And what an important subject, and certainly God's people, we need to be mobilized in prayer indeed for Israel and for peace in the Middle East. You've been listening to Jason Yates. He's the CEO of My Faith Votes, a nonpartisan movement that helps Christians think and vote biblically. Jason, it's such a blessing to have you on the podcast today. We hope you'll be able to return at a future date. And one more time, what's the best place for people to connect with My Faith Votes?
Just visit our website at myfaithvotes.org. We're also on social media, of course, all the major Facebook and Instagram, et cetera. But myfaithvotes.org will get you connected with just resources, or if you want to be an action partner, we'd love to have you join with us.
Wonderful. Well, again, we want to encourage our audience to go there. And again, thank you so much for being on the podcast today, and God bless the work that you're doing with My Faith Votes.
Thank you.
Well, you've been listening to the Charisma News Podcast on the Charisma Podcast Network. Make sure to subscribe so that you never miss an episode. God bless.